Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of Ask an Atheist. We are a weekly educational call-in program dedicated to atheism, skeptical inquiry, and the separation of church and state. With you again, I am Mike Gillis, and
I'm Case.
Hey, Case, welcome, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Nice to be back.
Yeah, so we're going to do another exciting dive into the world of skepticism.
Yes, we're going to take a look at pseudoscientific gadgets. Well, there's so many out there, but we're going to just touch on a few. We only have an hour show, but we've got a lot of fun clips, great pictures, and some laughs for you guys planning the show.
The joy of malarkey.
Yes.
Bunkum. They have so many great words for scams and things.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we don't actually literally chase them out on a rail anymore, but that's what the Federal Trade Commission is for.
Right, when they get around to it.
Yeah. So some announcements. As you folks may as well know, SCAN is not long for this world. SCAN, which is not going to be re-upped in the new Seattle City Council budget, is kind of going the way of the dodo. We are not. We are going to continue. We are actually going to be here on KLAY AM. That's based out of Lakewood, Washington. We got a lot of exciting things in the move to AM radio. I mean, come on. Crazy, controversial stuff. That is the bread and butter of AM radio. And the thing is, moving to commercial radio from public access, we kind of need some bread. And what we are hoping to do is raise enough money to cover our first round of episodes to give us the time to build the advertisers we need to keep this stuff going. So we've already given you guys 6 months of free programming. And if you enjoy what you've seen on here, please, please, please go to our website. Go to www.askanatheist.tv. And please, 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 if you feel it, drop us a couple bucks. And that's not all. Actually, there is more. We are going to be holding a benefit show at the Tacoma Comedy Club on Thursday, December 9th. This is the awesome poster that was made for us. You can get some more information about this. We have headlining us Brad Upton. He used to be on Almost Live, which was the local sketch comedy program for, they were on for almost 20 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So there is so much stuff. It's going to be a hilarious show. Tickets are $20. If you go on to askanatheist.tv, you can buy them through Brown Paper Tickets. And again, if you want to help us out and you're not in the area, please, 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 please drop us a couple bucks. You don't have to be in the Washington area. If you're enjoying our show anywhere in the world, please, please, please help us out.
Right. I just want to say real quick that I have a lot of sympathy for what the folks at SCAN are going through, and I really appreciate the professionalism as this whole thing is winding down. They've always been top-notch, but I especially appreciate it now, even though there's almost no incentive to continue going when they're going to close December 31st, but yet they're always here, and they always give us their A game. So
they went into overtime today helping us set up, going through the usual fun gymnastics that we usually go to trying to get the sound to work.
Yeah.
And again, SCAN folks, we will miss you dearly.
Definitely.
We love working in the studio with
right.
you. So other than that, I know that Seattle Atheists, which is a local atheist organization, and the winner of the Best American Atheist...
American Atheist Affiliate of the Year for 2010. Yes.
Yes, they award-winning organization. They're going to be doing their annual holiday gift wrapping at various bookstores around the area, raising money for Seattle Children's Hospital.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun. If you've got gifts to wrap, please, please, please go to one of the organizations. Go to seattleatheist.org. That is their official website. You can get all the information you need if you want to. Hey, if you're an atheist and you want to help out, do some gift wrapping for a good cause, please do. But these guys are a great group, and they deserve the plug.
Yeah. So. Nothing really turns that whole stereotype on its head of an atheist who's curmudgeonly and cynical than actually showing up, wrapping gifts, and saying Merry Christmas and, wishing people well in this holiday season. That really flips the whole idea of us being curmudgeonly on its head. And that's one of the things I love about gift wrapping for this. And it goes to a good cause.
And it goes to a good cause. I love the charity. Seattle Children's Hospital does so much good work.
Yes.
I mean, I can't imagine a better charity. So.
Yeah. Back to our benefit. We have to thank Jen McCrate and the Friendly Atheist for plugging us.
Oh, yes. Hemant Mehta and Jen McCrate, who are the bloggers behind Friendly Atheist and Blag Hag, respectively.
Exactly.
Basically giving us a pitch on their things, on their blogs, giving us some exposure to some of their readers. Both excellent people, and we want to thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. That's one of the things I've always really enjoyed about the atheist community, the activist community, is its willingness to help each other out, to give each other pitches, to understand that we're all sort of in the same struggle. Yep. We're all kind of fighting to simply assert that we exist, we're capable of morality, and we're just like regular folks, the people you see around. You know, just like in the Sesame Street song, the people that you meet each day.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we should plug Living After Faith. Rich Lyons' new podcast.
Rich Lyons. He's the vice president of Seattle Atheist. Yep. He's actually a former Pentecostal preacher for about 20 years.
He's got quite a story. Yeah.
He's a great speaker, and I would highly recommend checking out his podcast, Living After Faith. It's great.
Yeah. It's especially geared towards the folks who have with challenges of what it's like when you were Christian and you're now part of the atheist community. And a lot of folks, they experience being shunned by family or friends or coworkers because of that transition from theist to atheist. So it's really geared towards folks who are struggling in that part of their lives. So I can't recommend it enough.
It really is great. I mean, it is one of those things where a lot of times when somebody basically comes to grip with the fact that they don't believe in the supernatural claims that religion offers, they find that for them to be honest with themselves, it means them sometimes having ties severed forcibly from the people that they know, whether they're family, their friends, and sometimes feeling that they're very alone. And Rich does a really good job of sort of showing the struggles that he went through and letting you know in a lot of ways it does get easier over time.
Yeah, I mean, what better person to be able to put something together like this, like someone who used to be a minister? I mean, that's pretty powerful stuff.
I mean, that's the sort of thing where you're giving up everything you've built your life around.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got a great stories. Well, not great stories, but really horrific stories about what it's been like making that transition.
Yeah, Rich is a good guy. Please do check it out. Also, a member of our crew, Kate Farr, also known as Bionic Dance, she actually is starting a podcast up with a friend of hers called The A Word. I haven't heard it yet, but knowing Kate and having seen her videos, I'm sure it's awesome.
Yeah, think of it like the L word for atheists, you know? So I have no doubt they'll be hitting on some great topics. And, you know, if it's anything like her YouTube channel, it'll be a lot of fun to catch it.
Yes, so, please do check it out.
Yeah.
So Google it.
Yeah. And finally, I want to also plug my own group, Seattle Skeptics. We meet the third Tuesday of every month. If you love reviewing pseudoscience and just talking about global warming or things like this, things like we're hitting on today, or ghost hunting or things like that, I think you really enjoy Seattle Skeptics. It's a group that I've been working on for about 3 years now. We're 300 members strong, and it's a great time. We always have a engaging, entertaining event. So check that out. Google it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Let's hit some news stories.
Okay, let's do it.
We're going to start with one that's actually a little bit sad. And we'll work our way out to something a bit more silly as we go. This one actually comes from the Indiana Herald Bulletin. Custody ruling raises legal concerns. It basically says, order against agnostic father, a reason for concern. This is from Anderson in Indiana. A court ruling in which Anderson father's religion was a determining factor to strip him of joint custody of his three children is a cause for concern, an Indiana University law professor said. Craig Scarberry of Anderson lost joint custody of his three children in this month after Madison County Superior Court 3 Commissioner George C. Pankel issued an order that included court evidence that Scarberry, formerly a Christian, had become an agnostic. The order was affirmed by the Superior Court 3rd Judge Thomas Newman. So we're talking about something where it really is somebody being discriminated against for being a non-believer.
Right.
They're talking about how him being an agnostic and his spouse still being a Christian is something that would make him an unfit parent in some way. That's amazing. That not only oversteps the judge's bounds, but that really gets into constitutional issues.
Yeah, that's completely disgusting. That's a complete violation of his civil rights. You know?
It's amazing. He actually did an interview. I forget what the name of the gentleman is, the host of the Young Turks, which is a great show, by the way.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
He did an interview, and the guy behind it, Scarberry, had repeatedly stated throughout the interview that he did not push his, you know, I don't push my beliefs on my kids. I don't push my beliefs on my kids. So what? So what if he did? Let's just say that he did want his kids to be raised skeptical agnostics.
How would that be any different from any other parent?
Yeah, does a Christian have more rights than an agnostic to impart their value system on their children?
If they do, then that has a chilling effect.
It really does. And there's this weird sort of concession that a lot of religious people want us to make, which is that somehow our our way of looking at things or our way of questioning things is somehow inherently harmful or dangerous to children. And that's a concession I will not make. After all, we're not the one, it's like, I don't know anybody who's raised agnostic that you can point to any kind of bigotry that comes from agnosticism or atheism. I've never seen it. In fact, of the people that I know who are parents that are non-religious, atheists or agnostics, they're far less likely to push their belief systems on their kids simply because either they had their belief systems pushed on them as children, or because they look at this and they say, you know what, I want my children to develop naturally. I'll give them the sort of skeptical tools where they can sort of ask these hard questions, but I'm not going to like force this on them like dogma. In fact, we're far less likely to push this stuff on kids. I don't know how many people I've met that when we ask that question, what do you teach your kid about Santa Claus? What would you teach your kid about religion? Far more open-minded, far more about letting the child decide for themselves how they're going to develop in a belief system sort of way.
And more than that, I think this is actually a violation of the Second Amendment.
First Amendment.
Oh, First Amendment, excuse me. Whereas, there's supposed to be a separation between church and state.
Absolutely. That's the thing, is that a judge is acting as an arbiter of the state, and they don't have the right to say that this religious belief system versus this non-system, we're not going to encourage or discourage anything. We're going to be completely neutral.
Right.
We can't make the judgment call that Christianity is inherently better than someone's agnosticism.
Right.
That is unconstitutional. I want them to appeal this.
Right. And going further than that, then which flavor of Christianity is the best one for the child?
Oh, yeah.
You really start to get into this sticky wicket.
I mean, the only point at which I think religious beliefs should be something that a judge has to step in on at all is if there's some kind of demonstrable harm to the child, whether they're denying them medical care or they're beating them, like we had mentioned a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
A child is actually being beaten and a father was using the language in the Bible to justify beating their child, that sort of thing. Something that is a crime even with the religion taken out of it, like
right.
denying somebody medical care or outright abuse. That's the only thing at which they can step in, because that's already a crime.
Right. Right.
So I really hope they appeal this. I'm disgusted by it. And it really goes to show that I've always said that while I don't believe discrimination against atheists and agnostics is as, I guess you say, visceral or as intense as a lot of bigotry towards other groups.
Yeah, or like racism. Yeah.
Racism or homophobia or things like that. I'd say it's more widespread. And I think sometimes it's there in ways that people don't even realize that it's there. Like, for instance, when we went to the SCAN Awards, remember early on somebody who was assigned to sit near our group didn't want to sit near us. And they're like, oh, I don't like your energy. And then at the end of the show, when they realized we weren't going to like bite their head off, they're like, wow, I didn't expect you guys to be so nice.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And it's things like that where somebody doesn't realize that they're saying something horrible when they – That's really what I think. When somebody is making a judgment about an entire group of people based on some sort of preconception, and they don't realize that they're admitting to it, that's what I mean about it's more widespread. That a lot of times when people say things, even a lot of liberals and moderates, about how, oh well, you need this religious belief in some kind of deity as the bare minimum for a foundation of morality. They don't realize that they're basically telling us outright, you're just incapable of being moral. You know, and no, you don't.
Yeah.
And brah. That's why we exist as a show. That's why the atheist visibility movement on billboards and bus ads exists. That's why we have to speak out.
Yeah. It really speaks to why this is so important. Because the more people can see of us, the more they realize that the stereotypes that they've had of us don't stick.
Yeah, once you actually have to apply stereotypes to a real person,
right.
That's when they fall apart.
It
isn't a specific argument or any specific evidence that you could throw out that usually is the thing that does it. What usually destroys bigotry is having to apply these stereotypes that are built up by other people to actual people and finding out that they just don't hold.
Right.
So, again, we are a call-in show. We mentioned that earlier on. Please do, if you want to talk to us about not just the topics on the show, but any topic at all, please give us a call. Our phone number is 206-421-5658. Give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to talk to you.
So what else do we have on the docket?
On the docket also, speaking of this atheist, how we're incapable of morality, or how this atheist visibility movement – There's actually this bus boycott that's happening. This is actually coming from a Fox affiliate in Fort Worth, Texas. The latest atheist bus ads are going up, and if we actually have the JPEG of that, I'd love to show you what this horrible ad that's causing boycotts is.
That's terrible.
Oh, geez. Millions of Americans are good without God.
That's not what the Bible says.
No, it's not. See, when you look at this, this is what's getting people to say, this is what the minister says. If there's a fight out there, they need to pick the right enemy. I don't think the Transit Authority needs to be fighting. There's a group that funded these ads, and they're against the words in the ad that, they're just going off and off about this is anti-God or anti-this. No, this is simply asserting that, we are moral too. Two. Not, we're moral and you're not.
Right.
We're not saying about anything about any other group of people, not religious believers. We're not saying we're moral and you're not.
Or more moral. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not saying that we have any kind of superior thing. We're simply saying that it is possible to be good without a belief in your fairy tales. Period.
Simple as that.
That I don't need to believe that the world is 6,000 years old and that a talking snake in a tree did it.
You want a provocative bus ad? How about this one? If God exists, may he strike everyone dead on this bus.
Oh.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward.
But it's weird. Even that isn't as offensive as some of the billboards I've seen. I actually saw a billboard once that simply said, "Why do atheists hate America?" And it was over the controversy with Michael Newdow suing to get Under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and reverted to the pre-1950s version.
Right.
Which originally did not include the words Under God.
Right.
So, I mean, it's amazing. We're not saying anything about any other group. We're simply saying that we, too, are moral, that we, too, are capable of being good and decent. I don't know how that could possibly be misconstrued as any kind of attack or controversial or strident. I just don't see it. And also, it really sort of illustrates this point that there is no billboard that is so innocuous that it will not get somebody pissed off at it.
Yeah.
Because, frankly, they do want us to make that concession, that they're the ones that hold the keys to the vault that says morality.
Right.
That is bunkum.
Right.
That is malarkey. That is such crap.
And the subtext here is that what they're saying is, atheists, be quiet. We don't want to hear from you. We don't want you to put up billboards or signs or make us aware of you. Don't wear shirts. Just be quiet.
Wouldn't it be nice if you just shut up and go away? Which is amazing because this is the exact same stuff they said to the gay rights movement.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Why don't you just not force it down my throat?
Right, right. Just by their very existence, it's forcing it down the throats of others.
It was so much easier when we could just pretend you didn't exist and we could say horrible things about you in public and there wouldn't be any kind of a response, which is exactly the same crap.
The good old days.
The good old days where everyone was white and Christian, and if you weren't, we could push you off to the side.
Yeah, and I feel like that's really what folks like Bill O'Reilly and the Fox Network, I think that's what they represent, is that if you're not white Christian, then you're not us.
You're somehow lesser in some way.
Yeah.
But it's always that weird appeal to some kind of past time. And it's like, yeah, everyone thinks that they lived in more innocent times when they were a kid. Because you were a kid. You know how much crap your parents didn't tell you about when you were five? Seriously, do you go around talking about the war in Iraq or the AIDS epidemic or something to a three-year-old? I'm going to sit in front of the McLaughlin group, kid. Enjoy.
I watched Land of the Lost as a kid.
Seriously?
I thought that was a fantastic show.
Yeah.
I know better now.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
But there are people who honestly believe humans and dinosaurs coexisted. So, yeah.
Well, if God exists, may he strike down everyone dead in the studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just so tired of the weird sort of arrogance. They don't really seem to realize how arrogant it is
to
saying we are the ones who have a monopoly on being good.
On truth, on values, on freedom of speech. We brought this all to you as a gift from God.
Yeah. Okay. So
anyway,
speaking of billboards.
What else do we have? Well, this is a great one. And I thank you so much for letting me read this one because this billboards to proclaim Jesus' return on May 21st, 2011. Mark your calendars and get ready. According to 20 billboards to appear Monday across Metro Detroit, Jesus is returning May 21st, 2011. And if you aren't saved, it isn't going to be easy, says the Christian website behind the billboards, which read, He is coming again. Do we have a? I don't think we have a picture of it.
But Jesus will be back.
Right.
And it's hilarious because one, I have to believe that they're giving us the date in 2011 because they want to sort of cut off the 2012 guys at the pass.
Right. Yeah.
It's like our end of the world is coming first.
Yeah.
And we're gonna beat you out.
What do those Mayans know about the end of the world anyway?
Yeah. Seriously.
Jeez.
Where are you guys now?
Yeah.
yeah. Take that, Mayan Empire. And the other one is that the second thing I got from him is this guy has to be a true believer in the same way that Hal Lindsey was a true believer.
Right, right.
Where he proclaimed that wasn't it the name of that book? Like 50 reasons that the world will end.
It was 88 reasons the world will end in 1988. That was the book, if I remember right.
Spoiler alert. It didn't.
Yeah, sorry.
So it's the same thing. Didn't it move up to 1992?
And they often do. They often do. When these sort of end of the world prophecies don't come true, they either get adjusted or justified out and just change. But one fascinating thing about it is it never changes the amount of belief that a group has. They just believe in something else.
But you're making some kind of future prediction about the end of the world, and you're wrong every single time because the world hasn't ended. Then stop making predictions.
Okay.
Or at least make them far enough ahead that you'll be dead by the time you get embarrassed.
Yes.
Boom. So we should probably get to the topic.
Let's
dive head first into some serious bunkum.
Okay. So what we thought we'd do is the name of today's show is Pseudoscientific Gadgets. And we're going to take a look at some of the leading contenders of pseudoscience that are prevalent today. The first one is the infamous Q-ray bracelet. Why don't we pull up the first slide on that one? The Q-ray bracelet came to our attention in about 2000. Basically, it works like this. The Q-ray bracelet is an ionized bracelet that rose as a result of an infomercial campaign in 2000 to 2003. During this time, many claims were made about the product's alleged effectiveness, most notably relief from pain and arthritis due to the manipulation of the body's chi. We have the wrong slide up there. We're looking for slide number
one,
please.
That is a Q-ray bracelet, though.
But it is a Q-ray bracelet, yeah.
There we are.
Slide number one.
Ting on there.
It's ionized.
Which means I think they took electrons out of its out of the atom.
Yes.
Which means is it decaying and radioactive?
Yeah. Well, So anyway, there's a few things that I want you to note on this. It's not magnets. It's ionized. Okay. Early on in the Q-ray thing that they like to put attention on the fact that there weren't magnets in it, that it's a serious performance bracelet.
Bracelet?
It doesn't say what kind of performance, it's just performance. It could be bad performance. We don't know. It's often imitated, never duplicated. We'll actually see some duplications very soon. And wearing is believing, which I think is an extremely important tag phrase if your product does absolutely nothing.
Am I right where that says that's $50?
It's $50. It used to retail for up to $350 when it first came out.
Wow.
And, through promotions and, the march of time, they just kept dropping the price. So.
Wow.
The next slide, slide number two. I'm going to read a little bit to you because it's actually a little tough to read. According to the traditional Chinese yin-yang theory...
Is it a theory?
It's a theory, a hypothesis. Qi circulates in the body along the 12 major energy pathways called meridians, each linked to specific organs in body's electrical system. Now, the disclaimer, this part is really important. The manufacturer makes the claim that this is a scientific theory regarding this product. It's a little bit blurry. These statements have not been authorized or evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any or prevent any disease.
Can we get the picture back up again? I want to see that picture of the Qi map. Does that look suspiciously like the board from Operation?
Yes.
Don't touch the sides! So, yeah, I love because it the idea that this is actually scientific. Ask yourself this. Have you ever seen a picture like that in a doctor's office?
Never. Not once. No. If a doctor had that or a map of the humors, I would just walk right out.
Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to my regular leecher.
So let's go to slide number 2A, and that's got the 2A. And basically, Q-Ray once again makes claims, but they're very inspecific. And in this one, they say a better looking swing guaranteed. They don't say how it's better. They don't say anything about it, but other than it's a better looking swing. So
they don't really specify what wrist you're supposed to put this stuff on.
They're actually on the website. It actually does give instructions for how it should be worn. But one thing that I found really interesting is that the models that they use to model these, that they wear them all differently, that none of them follow the actual recommended guidelines for how to wear them.
It kind of reminds me of an experiment that Penn and Teller did with feng shui, where they got these feng shui consultants to come into a room and set it up this perfect. Now, oh, yeah, this is science. And then they left it as it and brought another feng shui guy in, and they said, oh, well, this is totally wrong. And they set it up in a totally different way. So it really kind of betrays that there is no science behind something if you can't even build a basic consensus on how this thing is supposed to work.
Right. And that's one of the hallmarks of pseudoscience is this lack of agreement about how something works, because everyone's pulling from their own favorite set of cherry-picked facts.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
except for the chi thing. I don't think that's a fact.
Well, I don't think anybody even agrees about how chi works. I think if you did a search on chi, everyone would try to manipulate it in some completely different way that just didn't make any sense. Anyway, that's probably a good topic for another day. What about the chi?
That we're even talking about energy fields that we haven't even proven existed.
Yeah. So anyway,
can we get that picture up of how does it work?
Yeah, we will get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. So in 2003, the FTC took Qray to court, and they won an injunction against the Qray folks. And what the major factor of the rulings was that the Mayo Clinic demonstrated no significant effect from the Qray bracelet on muscle pain relative to the placebo effect. And a bit about the placebo effect is that 27% of the population is susceptible to the placebo effect, which basically states that if I gave you a sugar pill, told you that this pill relieved pain, you would actually feel pain relieved. So that, in a nutshell, that's the placebo effect. So anyway, they found that this bracelet was no better than the placebo effect whatsoever.
Absolutely.
So Qray lost $87 million on that, and they learned their lessons. Instead of actually going out of business, we're going to have you pull up another slide. Instead of actually going out of business, they changed the way they marketed the product. So I actually want you to go ahead and pull up, 03. And in 03, this is a catalog from their this online catalog. Instead of saying what it does, it just says what it is. It has magnets, which have been used for centuries to promote a healthy lifestyle.
Sort of like leeches or exorcism.
Yes, and we know how healthy folks were for centuries. For centuries, people have been much healthier than they are right now. So thank goodness for the Qray bracelet, bringing back Stone Age medicine.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think things were so much better when it was all about, getting demons out of your body.
Yes.
That promote good health. And again, if we are a call-in program, if you want to give us a phone call and talk about any letter of charlatans and hucksters or anything else related to religion or anything. It's like, oh, my God, I have an atheist on the phone. If you want to talk to us.
Yes, bring it on.
Give us a call. Our phone number is 206-421-5658.
We would love to hear from you.
To hear from you.
So the next slide I'd love for you to bring up up in the booth is 03C. It's a
This is from their FAQ, isn't it?
This is from their FAQ. You go to the Qray website, and you ask, here are the frequently asked questions. And the first one, I love this one. How does the Qray bracelet work? How does it work? Well, very simple. The Qray is about empowerment and choice.
Oh.
Many people who choose Qray tell us that they are making a conscious effort to improve their lives through better nutrition, more exercise, and more activity. Qray works for them.
But it doesn't say they better their life through Qray.
It just says
through nutrition and exercise.
It's about empowerment and choice. This is a very populist appeal. This is a very populist appeal that with our bracelet you are more powerful. You have made a choice, and it really speaks to this common denominator of lack of intelligence of, wow, this bracelet gives me things that I hadn't considered before.
It sort of reminds me of that you would feel better with more, better diet and more exercise and healthier living, whether you wore the Qray bracelet or not.
Yeah.
So it becomes this sort of thing, sort of like Dumbo's magic feather. If you remember from the Disney film Dumbo, Dumbo could fly. That was the cool thing about him having big ears. However, he's basically tricked halfway through the movie into believing that the power of flight actually comes from a magic feather that he was given. His flight power is innate. The feather has nothing to do with it, but we said this weird tendency to try to externalize things that are inside of us, whether it's morality or some kind of physical or whatever ability and give it all to this object. And it seems like that's what we're doing with Q-Ray. And the fact that they mention health and exercise in that description basically says like they're trying to go, okay, yeah. We're not claiming anything. And they don't even actually say what the Q-Ray does. And anywhere in that description, they say, how does it work?
Like
if I wanted to say, how does the internal combustion engine work? They wouldn't say, well, the internal combustion engine is all about empowerment and choice.
Yes. You can really get a sense for it when you look at the Q-Ray commercial. We have a Q-Ray commercial. It's 03D. I want you guys to play that in the booth. And note how they actually make no real claims. So go ahead and...
It's a good way to not get sued.
Yeah.
What do winning athletes like Olympic champion Sonia Richards have to say about their Q-Ray bracelet?
Some folks call it my lucky bracelet because I've worn it for every race I've won the last 3 years. Is it luck or is it my Q-Ray? I don't know, but why take a chance?
Now Q-Ray introduces the ultimate sports bracelet, the Q-Ray Plus. With the extra power of high-gauss magnets used for centuries to promote a healthy lifestyle.
And I've actually seen different athletes wearing this, wearing the Q-Ray.
Q-Ray Plus, with magnetic power. Magnets with more power than ordinary magnetic bracelets. Beautifully crafted with an expandable steel band for a custom fit.
It's actually good looking. It's attractive. You know, people have asked me when I've been wearing it, hey, where'd you get that?
Call this number now and get your Q-Ray Plus. Q-Ray Plus, with the extra power of magnets, the ultimate sports bracelet.
It's actually good looking, right?
So is it luck or is it Q-Ray? Well, maybe it's the training that you do.
I love the fact that she's sitting in a doctor's office. That really gives it some air legitimacy that she's in there with her doctor and the Q-Ray bracelet. And
it's
they,
part of some kind of treatment plan.
Yeah. And he's going to hook her up to some experimental something.
Like, oh, geez. Just the lying by implication.
Right.
That
right.
This is somehow something that doctors would recommend. Or it's like, oh, well, I saw athletes using it. Notice those athletes didn't actually appear on this commercial.
Right. So is it the training or the Q-Ray bracelet? Why chance it? I mean, that sort of thing can be applied to anything. I mean, if you use that kind of logic of it could be this external factor, not the training, so – you know, maybe I should believe in that unicorn. And
yeah, I've bathed in the bloods of goats that I've sacrificed before every football game I've ever played, and I've won a great deal of them. Why should I take the risk by not doing it? What if that's the X factor? I mean, that's just silly.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not the first time I've heard about athletes being sort of superstitious, like wearing special underwear,
right,
or other things before a game. The Q-Ray bracelet just becomes part of that, and of course they're going to want a special lucky charm.
Right. Right. And one thing I really found interesting about this commercial is the use of anecdotes as testimonials. Q-Ray doesn't actually say what it does. They use proxies. They use people who claim that this bracelet's worked for them as their testimonials and as their proof of what it does.
It's not passing the buck on liability.
Right. We never said that it did these things. They said it did these things. Sue them.
Don't sue us.
Sue them. One of the problems with using anecdotes as evidence for your product is that, you know, using the placebo effect, as we talked about earlier, about 27% of people will claim some sort of effect. Well, if I have only those people give testimonies, then it seems like a very solid product. But when in fact I'm just using the placebo effect to my benefit.
And it also doesn't take into account that often people's perceptions can be fooled. I mean, that's really a big thing. People are often wrong about what they see. And if that's all you provide as evidence for how your product works, how are we supposed to believe it? That's why we want a genuine scientific study.
Yeah.
Period. I want you to prove that this is something that's far more effective than the placebo effect would be.
Which is pretty fair, you know. I mean, if we were to use any sort of Western medicine per se, and you know, the big pharma is often criticized, but their medicines often go through very, very rigorous testing before it's released to the market. You can't make the same claim about Q-Ray or any of these other bracelets that we're going to talk
about.
And
that's the real advantage of not actually claiming your product does anything. That's the same thing. It reminds me of Head-On from a few years ago, where it doesn't even say that it implies that it deals with headaches, but they just say, rub it on your head. And when you don't, you're basically rubbing chapstick on your head, you don't actually have to cure a headache, so you can't be sued. It's the same sort of way. It's like Q-Ray promotes – it's about a lifestyle they're talking about, which would be no different than a bracelet that doesn't do anything but just looks good.
Yeah, good point. Back to that court hearing back in 2003 that we talked about. One of the things, one of the findings that they came up with was that the basis for Curie's claims that they said it was related to traditional Chinese medicine, but they found no evidence for that whatsoever. They found that Curie was just a scheme devised to defraud its customers, and the defendants might as well have said, beneficent creatures from the 17th dimension use this bracelet as a beacon to locate people who need pain relief, whisk them off to their home world every night, and provide ways to help them in ways unknown to our science. It's that much BS.
I would buy that bracelet.
Yeah. So to the booth, we're actually going to go with slide number 5 next because of time concerns. So pull up slide number 5 and we'll talk a little bit about I don't think that's slide number 5.
Which one are we looking for?
Christ letter.
Oh, goody.
Okay. So anyway, this is a mailing I got recently, and this was it's a sign from the Lord about your future. And basically, what they did was they mailed me this prayer rug. It was just a piece of paper that looked like a rug, but it really played upon people's superstitions. It said, don't open this special envelope. They enclosed an envelope. Don't open it unless you actually follow the directions, because something terrible will happen to you. There's a prophecy enclosed in here. This is a very special.
Don't feed it after midnight.
Yeah.
what do they claim would happen? Like some sort of a demon would possess you?
Well, let's see. If we go to slide number 6, they say something good is about to happen. Please do not open these prophecies until you have placed your prayer page and the rug back in the mail. After sunset tomorrow or the next day, God will help you do this. You will see. So basically, it's just a little tchotchke. And this is actually a scheme that many companies use. They give you a free gift. Mm-hmm. And then you feel compelled to return it. You feel compelled to do something in return. Like even the March of Dimes gives you free mailing list stickers, the return address labels.
Yeah.
Even they give you some freebie, or they'll even mail you a nickel. And this makes you feel like you have to return it. You have to actually... You know, they've given me something. I've got to reciprocate.
Do something now.
Yeah. So
it's a good way of verifying that somebody actually lives at that address, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. It's like, okay, we've got a sap. Yeah. Reel him in.
Yeah. So cutting to slide number 8. We're actually going to cut right over to number 8. Just like the best chain letters, they talk about the great things that are going to happen to you if you follow these directions. So here we have this woman who's been blessed with $46,000. After using the prayer rug.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And these schemes work. I mean, if they didn't work, they wouldn't do them. These companies rake in thousands and thousands of dollars every week from schemes just like these.
So actually somebody did make money from the prayer rug. It was a company.
Yes.
it seems like that's the best way to make money with something like this, is to be on the top of that pyramid scheme. But yeah, it seems, I don't really see the difference between something like this and something like, say, The Secret, other than the iconography is about Jesus rather than this sort of vague universal thing.
Right.
Again, we are a live call-in show. You're listening to or watching, or maybe both, Ask an Atheist, coming to you from Scan Studios in Seattle. If you want to ask us a question or make a comment, give us a call. Our number is 206-421-5658. So please give us a call.
I'm glad you said it. I couldn't remember it. So
oh.
Good job. Yeah.
All right.
So slide number 9. This continues our letter from the Christ Church. And this is where they give the testimonials. And this is actually very important to this sort of stuff, is where they have people who claim that they've been blessed, that they've been healed, that good things have happened. One person says that she got $10,000. Another one, the Lord gave them a 6-room house. Someone else got $5,000. This is that testimonial phase. If you do what we tell you to do, you're going to get an enormous bountiful blessing.
Well, it seems like if enough people send back the prayer rug, there's going to be a fraction of those people to which something good happens.
Right. Eventually, something good is going to happen.
Something is going to happen eventually to anybody.
Right.
It seems if you wait long enough. So. It just seems kind of silly. It seems like there's only 4 things on there. What about all the people who sent in the prayer rug and nothing happened?
It didn't work for me.
Yeah.
that's not going to make it.
Is that same BS that some of those churches give, where they say the answer to every prayer is yes, no, or wait?
Right, right.
Which is the same sort of thing that works with a magic 8-ball.
Anything. Yeah, anything.
It just wait.
Yes. So let's go on to slide number 10. This is the actual Christ prayer rug. And this is actually the top half of it. Now, what they do is they tell you to look into Jesus' eyes, and you'll see that they're closed. But if you continue to look at them, you'll see his eyes opening and looking back into your eyes. Now, I don't know if you could be able to tell on the monitor there, but there's a slight optical illusion built into this prayer rug that if you do look at it long enough, it does look like his eyes appear.
It's like a magic eye trick.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's just an optical illusion that makes you feel like, wow, Jesus is looking at me. Holy shit, I better put this rug in the mail and get it out to them.
If it was really so magical, he would talk.
That'd be fair criteria for magic. Yeah.
Something better than that. Oh,
yes.
Geez.
So, slide number 11 is this the bottom half of the prayer rug, and we can actually go ahead and skip that. The one that I really want to show you guys is slide number 12. They've learned from their lessons of the Q-ray bracelet. And pull that up.
Q-ray is for pussies compared to this stuff.
Right. End your pain. Using the penetrating power of magnets.
The soothing power of copper.
And the healing power of Jesus. Yes, the Jesus bracelet is now available for your purchase. Experience the miracle of maximum healing and pain relief.
Wow.
Yes. For only $9.97.
It says it's, can we get that picture up again? That's pretty crazy.
Yes.
I'm a little disappointed that his head isn't actually part of the bracelet. That would be so much cooler. But, it says solid copper, but it also says magnets. So is it, have a magnet in it, or is it solid copper?
Well, these don't just, let's just start with the first part of that, is that these are 3,000 Gauss magnets, okay? If Jesus wasn't in this bracelet, that would strip the flesh right off your wrist, okay? That's real power. When you're using maximum power for anything, it's like Seinfeld said, you take whatever kills you and you dial it back one notch. That's what that is. That's maximum power. So is it copper and magnets? Oh, yeah.
So how do you get the power of Jesus into a bracelet anyways? Do they, like, melt one of those communion wafers into the mix?
Transubmutation / alchemy? Sure.
Sure, why not?
Sure. You could either pray over the bracelets, which I guess if you could pray and put the power of Jesus in anything, I mean, why not have a Jesus ladder?
Why don't you make all your clothes have Jesus power?
Yeah, the power of Jesus in everything.
It seems like that would overpower. You wouldn't need the copper or the
power of magnets. Or the 3,000 Gauss magnets. Well, even Jesus apparently needs a leg up. So
with, you say the power of magnets, the power of copper, and the power of Jesus. So is this kind of like Captain Planet? When these three things come together, it forms something like ultimate power. Is this like the Death Star? We harness this ability and weaponize it?
Let's go to slide number 13. This one will kill you too. This combines the most powerful forces of heaven and earth. Yes. Do you believe? Wear this solid copper magnetic therapy Jesus bracelet for the most powerful healing and comfort you have ever experienced. Copper has been relied on for centuries to ease the pain of arthritis. You know how in olden times.
Didn't people used to brush their teeth by using urine, though, too?
No, did they?
They did. I mean, it's... just because something's old and has lasted doesn't mean it works.
Right.
See also slavery.
Right.
Oh.
I'm not even going to get into the healing power of urine or slavery. We're just going to move on. So copper has been relied on for centuries to ease the pain of arthritis. Magnets are used therapeutically to ease muscle pain, tendonitis, bursitis, back pain, poor circulation, and more. And now the faith in the miracles of Jesus can not only protect you from physical pain, but soothe your soul in times of stress.
Can we show any sort of demonstrable way that your soul is injured?
Or do
they just make the assumption always, as religion does, that your soul is always damaged in some way?
Yeah.
The minute it comes off a lot, it's worth less than when you were born. I don't know.
I don't know. It's beyond our science. I'll say that. So our next clip, and I apologize to the booth because we jumped around a little bit, but I would love to play clip number 4B. This is the iRenew Energy Bracelet commercial. Following on the heels of the Q-Ray bracelet, there's a new company out, and they've got some things they want to share with you. So if that's ready, please go ahead and roll that clip.
Let's face it, we all have times when we feel weak and run down.
I'm a student right now, so I'm pretty stressed out of my mind.
Okay, I need a break. Can I just sit down for a second?
So what if I told you that regaining your strength and feeling renewed was as easy as wearing this?
That is so cool.
That's crazy.
This is great.
What is it? Wow.
Hi, I'm Art Edmonds, and all of these people are excited about iRenew, the revolutionary bracelet that uses natural frequencies to promote strength and wellness.
Just watch these strength and balance tests. Without iRenew, these people couldn't even stay on their feet. After slipping iRenew on, they were amazed at how their balance was instantly restored. And these aren't actors, just regular people experiencing iRenew's effects for the first time. Athletes wear it, celebrities wear it, and you've heard the buzz about it on talk TV and the internet. Just put it on and you'll experience the difference immediately.
Oh, I'll need this when I walk my dog. She always takes me for a ride.
Well, the balance alone is amazing.
That is something else. Highly recommend it.
Every iRenew bracelet is programmed with the natural frequencies that your body positively responds to.
The iRenew bracelet is giving me energy and it's giving me balance.
I notice that I sleep through the night like a baby.
iRenew makes me stronger and more flexible.
Once you balance your body's energy with iRenew, you balance your overall health.
Athletes and celebrities have paid hundreds, even thousands of dollars to get their hands on this technology. But now you can get your iRenew for just $19.99. And because we want you to help spread the word about iRenew, we'll send you a second one free. Just pay separate processing. As soon as you get it, put it on and do the demonstrations for yourself. If it doesn't work exactly like you've seen in this commercial, put it back in the box and send it back for a full refund. No questions asked. You get two iRenew bracelets, a $40 value for just $19.99. So iRenew your life right now.
If the iRenew bracelet...
Oh.
And we're back. So apparently they're not wearing the iRenew bracelet up in the booth today, because if they were, then they would experience performance that they have never had before.
So we need to go out there and tug on their arm and make them fall over? Is that, is that how this works?
Yes. So let's break down that commercial just a little bit. They did what we talked about in the other commercials, which was they use very, very suggestive terminology to say that this bracelet does something. Mm-hmm. They use testimonials of people to kind of finish the sentence.
Yeah.
I can sleep at night now. I don't worry about back pain. I euthanized my dog and it felt fine. You know, that's... That sort of thing. And
they also, that's a good way of outsourcing the claims to other people.
Yes, yeah.
Not an actor.
Right. I love the guy in the lab coat who leans forward and with a voice of authority says, "iRenew will increase your performance." I'm paraphrasing, but but clearly, that commercial is a big joke. I mean, if you looked at the athletes in the commercial, athletes wear it, and they cut to some non-distinct athlete who's they're showing the back of, and just a number.
Number
23 wears it.
He didn't have a name on his jersey.
If it's good enough for 23, it's good enough for you. Actresses wear it, celebrities wear it, and they show people who we've never seen or heard of before. It's just, yeah. It's completely laughable stuff. But yet, it's on the air, and... Stay with me, Mike. We only have a few more minutes to go.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway,
the celebrities use it as if celebrities are somehow this barometer for, celebrities can see through crap all the time. Just look at Tom Cruise.
And it's on the internet.
It's on the internet. Oh, the internet has got such a great filter.
There's buzz on the internet about this. It's got to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So anyway.
Seriously?
Yeah. Seriously. So I want to pull up slide number 14, where we're going to talk about a little bit about Phytan. Phytan is a relatively new player to the Magic Bracelet game. And Phytan, this is actually I was in Sports Authority a couple months ago. This is an actual display from them. This is actually brand new. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 15.
Boom.
In this slide... slide number 15, I will read it to you. It says, Phytan engineers have been able to dissolve titanium in water, a process that does not occur in nature.
Clearly.
This creates aqua titanium that can be absorbed into the fiber, just like a dye. The titanium becomes part of the fabric and cannot be washed away or fade away. Within the workings of the process, aqua titanium becomes energized. Once processed, the aqua titanium emits an energy that is effective in controlling the bioelectric current. Every cell in your body has a tiny engine. The energy produced by that engine keeps your body going. Age, injury, and fatigue hurts the efficiency of your cells, expending more energy for every action. The energy emitted by our products works to tune up every cell that passes by, restoring top function. Blood cells carry more oxygen, and muscle cells fire with more intensity. I say that they're a new player to the game because they haven't learned Q-Ray's lesson. They've actually made claims. They've actually said, oh, yeah, our bracelet does these magical, wonderful things. Now, the FTC is actually very slow to respond to these things. So if they follow the same story path that Qray has, is they're going to get their millions and they're going to cash in on this. They'll pay a slap on the wrist for a fine, but they're going to actually walk away millionaires from this product.
But even if the company completely goes under, they've already made their money.
They've already made their money. And Fitin has actually made their way into the big leagues in terms of at the Major League World Series, there were actually athletes who were wearing Fitin.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and I can't remember how it was promoted, but this is the new Qray. This is the up-and-coming
Aqua Titanium.
Aqua Titanium.
So basically you can melt metal and use it like a dye, and so it's both metal and cloth.
Right.
If this is such a revolutionary process, how come people aren't making body armor out of this?
Right, right. Why isn't there an exoskeleton with this stuff on?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I should be able to wear a T-shirt, and it should work like a flak jacket.
Yeah.
It's just really, folks?
So let's cut on to slide number 16, and I'll read it to you. The strands of this revolutionary necklace are coated with Fitin's Aqua Titanium. Its cores have micro-sized titanium spheres, as well as carbonized titanium, like, you know, Han Solo. It can also be worn on the wrist, ankle, or waist to quickly relieve pain and stress. So they're actually making claims. They're actually making claims, and this will bite them in the butt, without a doubt.
Oh, that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
It hurts me already.
Yeah. So once again, our telephone number is 206. Correct me if I'm wrong, 421-5658?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, please
If you love your Qray bracelet or your Fitin magic necklace, please give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your anecdote, even if it is to laugh at you. I'm sorry. the science just isn't there. So anyway, let's move on to slide number 17. And this is more about Fitin's energy transport system. All Fitin products work to stabilize the flow of energy in your body. Injuries, fatigue, and low oxygen levels disrupt the normal flow of energy in your system. Without the proper energy flow, your muscles increase in tension and fatigue, and fatigue is worsened as your body tries to compensate for the lost energy. By wearing Fitin products, this energy flow is stabilized, permitting a greater flow of energy with less waste. Fatigue sets in later, and energy time is shortened. With greater energy, you can simply do more with Fitin.
So my question is, does it stabilize the flow of energy, or does it help it move along? Because it said both in that statement.
You know, that's a good question. That's a good question. It seems to claim both.
They don't even say what kind of energy this is.
Yeah. So just for the purposes of science, I'm wearing my own magic bracelet today.
Oh.
This is made of hematite. I made it just for the show. I don't know if you could see that. So if you think that our show has been statistically better than average, please feel free to write us in and let us know if maybe the Ask an Atheist magic bracelet is
right for you.
Is right for you, yes.
But don't ask your doctor, because your doctor will probably tell you
right.
to throw it in the trash.
We should make up our own Ask an Atheist magic bracelets and sell them for $9.97 each.
Yeah. You know?
It's the penetrating power of magnets.
Soothing power of copper.
And the healing power of Ask an Atheist.
Boom.
Yeah. So anyway, there is another commercial that I would love to play for you. And this is a commercial that actually does exactly what it claims. And it's geared towards kids. It's called the Magic Wishing Bracelet. Please roll that clip.
Enter the kingdom with the magical game bracelet. Bracelets that are so pretty, they're fit for a princess. There's royal power, rainbow power, star power, heart power, girl power, and diamond power. Every magical game bracelet comes with its own secret code, so you can enter the online kingdom. Design your very own princess. Explore magical lands. Meet animal friends. Score points to earn beautiful costumes and magical accessories. Make friends online. Every bracelet unlocks hours of fun. Collect them all. The magical game bracelet. Wishingbracelet.com.
So we have diamond power, star power, girl power, and the bracelets actually do exactly what they say they're going to do. You get a code to play a game online.
Okay. I have to say I feel a lot like a boy right now. I'm clearly not in the key demographic for this product.
But anyway, unlike the bracelets that we've talked about before, this one actually does what it claims it does. It's not under the skeptic purview. It's like, all right, pretty funny stuff.
Yeah.
So, one topic that I want to touch on before we close out was the previous show that we had done, the Ask an Atheist in Spanish. I really thought that was an important episode for us to do. I realize that many of our viewers couldn't understand it. But if you really should get a sense for how underserved the Spanish community is when it comes to atheist resources. This really gives you a sense for just, for me, I thought the show was very important. You know, and I really give a definite shout out to Becky and Lee who did that show because they did fantastic, you know.
I'm immensely proud of the episode that we did. I love that we did it. I love the crew for, one, we've been a lot more experimental on this show and the fact that we've been willing to move out of our comfort zone a lot of the time. I'm incredibly proud of the crew, the producers, and the hosts of Ask an Atheist. It's a privilege for me to work on this show. It's a privilege for me to work with the people that I do. And there's nothing I'd rather do every Sunday than hang out with these people and put together this show.
It is a good time, yeah. So we have that, that news story about the athlete who tweeted, right? Do we have that? Do we have that set up there?
I don't know. I'm about as technically savvy as a caveman.
Does this work? Oh,
this is the joy of live TV, people.
Yeah.
You can watch me mess around with electronics.
So you may have heard about the story. Some NFL athlete had, and forgive me for not remembering his name. NFL athlete. Oh, there it is. Great.
Yes, there it is. Whiteout blames God for dropped ball. Oh my God! He actually put this up on his Twitter thing. He actually got angry at God that he literally dropped the ball. I praise you 24/7, and this is how you do me? You expect me to learn from this? There's multiple question marks and exclamation points, so I'm really not exaggerating. I'll never forget this ever. Thanks though.
Thanks though.
Wow. Call me. I'll never forget. Is he threatening God?
I don't know.
Oh. You're going to hear from me, Yahweh. I'm going to F your crap up now.
A strongly worded letter to the management. Absolutely.
Oh, and then he's emotional. Oh, man.
For me, there's a sense of relief that it's nice to be able to see people who they give credit to God when things go right, but now they can actually say, you know what?
God's fault.
God's fault. And he actually takes credit for the blame.
I find it hilarious. Okay, if you want to discuss things like this with the Ask an Atheist crew, we are going to be meeting and eating and chatting at the Mandarin Gate. I believe that's at 10,000 Aurora in just a few minutes, I believe at 4:30. Please give a chance to come out and talk with us. We love hearing from you, and you can even blame God for the technical errors in this episode.
Yes, bring your Q-Ray bracelet, your Christ prayer rug, what have you. We'll have a ball. So.
I think there's a lot of what I love about the football thing is that this has been an Onion article for several years, and it finally came true.
Yeah.
So thank you, football player.
What's his name?
What is his name? I don't know. I can't find it on there. Johnston. So anyways, thank you for watching Ask an Atheist. We'll join you every Saturday, at least for the continuum of the year.
Every Sunday,
3 p.m. here on SCAN. And you can join us online at askanatheist.tv. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.